Hey, hey, greetings and welcome to another episode of Wine and Wisdom. Y'all know what's up. Let's get ready to sip, savor, and elevate your minds and your senses. I am Dr. Carlia East, licensed mental health counselor, speaker, coach, and psychotherapist. I've been in the game for over 20 years, delivering messages of hope, healing, and happiness to those all over the United States. And I am so happy that you've decided to join me on my Wine and Wisdom podcast, particularly Q&A this season. I've gotten a lot of questions throughout the years, and I thought that what would be a better way to do that than on this particular platform. So without further ado, let's get right into it. So our first question, is jealousy healthy in a relationship? Okay, is jealousy healthy in a relationship? Well, yes, right? There's healthy jealousy and there's unhealthy jealousy. So let me break it down. A little bit of jealousy in any relationship can be beneficial. There's a difference between that jealousy, as I said, being healthy or unhealthy. Unhealthy jealousy focuses on that person, you know, being insecure in themselves is the priority, right? And the second thing priority is them wanting to know everything about you, where you're at, where you're coming, checking your phone, checking your entire, questioning you. There's just an overall lack of trust in that whole dynamic. Questioning your decision-making, questioning what you wear, questioning, you know, or wanting to see evidence of where you said you were. Can I get some receipts or who's with you or calling you while you're there or knowing your location? Like, I mean, all of these things can be done in a very unhealthy way when it comes to jealousy. Okay. So an example of unhealthy trust is, let's say you're with your mate and you guys are out and about and there's someone else in the room more attractive. Okay. Or as just attractive period. Your mate will automatically begin to feel insecure, may hold you a little bit closer, may ask a little bit more questions, may hang on you a little bit more, may be ready to go all of a sudden, not want to be in the room, may look at you and look at what direction you're looking in and accuse you of looking at someone. So these are all, you know, unhealthy dynamics. But having a little bit of territorial behavior towards your mate can be sexy, right? Wanting to know that they're safe and that they're healthy is a very enduring quality that we want from our mates. And so there's fine tuning in some of these behaviors where it can be very enduring and it can be very supportive to have this. It just means that they want to be near you or they want to spend time with you or you're important to them or they value who you are or where you are, you know, and those types of things. So that can be healthy, right? So I think that, you know, no one wants to be with someone that is a psycho, but we also don't want to be with someone that doesn't want us, that doesn't need us, that's not passionate about us, that's not territorial about us, that's not quick to check somebody about us, right? Let's not front and say that we don't want those things. So I think that we have to look at, I think that you have to look at what your personal needs are, what your personal wants are, because if you are having some needs right now, we need to address where those are coming from, right? You know, like, why are we needy in that particular space? But let's look at what your wants are. How do you want to be regarded? How do you want to be treated, whether you're male or female? How do you want to be accessed? How do you want to be loved and touched? So these are all things that I think you have to identify. And then once you know what you want and what you require, then you can put out that energy and make it very clear of the behaviors that you're willing to deal with and not willing to deal with. But keep in mind, there has to be reciprocity in that whole process. So whatever you want from your mate, you have to be able to give the same thing in return. Okay. So yes, there's an appropriate amount of jealousy that I feel is healthy in any type of relationship. It just depends on how you turn it up or not. Okay. All right. Question number two, how can relocation as a couple work well? All right. So couples that are dating, that are living long distances, or just say, I can't reach you in 30 minutes, right? We're just going to consider that, you know, or an hour, that's considered a long distance relationship. You're not seeing each other every day. You don't have access. Absolutely, long distance relationships can be stronger. And because of all the social media and access that we have with electronic devices and things of that nature, there's even more of an opportunity for us to be creative with one another, right? So you can always FaceTime and communicate with each other, or, you know, send each other little memes or text messages or gifts. There's all types of ways to communicate. But I think the truth is very clear. Absence does make the heart grow fonder. And this is not to say that cohabitating couples can't miss each other, because you can. You know, you go off to work, or, you know, you go whatever, go on vacations or go about your day. You can definitely find ways to reconnect and miss each other, because you're not like up under each other's asses 24/7. At least I hope you're not. But when it comes to engaging in long distance relationship, there has to be a lot of planning and strategy, meaning communication. Communicate about the wants that you have in this relationship. Communicate about how often you want to communicate. How often do you want to hear from this person? Do you want text messages in the morning? Do you want your communication to be at night? If you're exhausted when you get off from work because of your drive, is that the best time to communicate? Or are you guys better at jumping on a lunch call and communicating? So I think it's important to understand your rhythm, them understand their rhythm, and you get your schedules together so that you can coordinate how to be connected. Yes, you still can date each other when you're in the long distance relationships. Of course, when you get together in the same space, it's going to be magical. You haven't seen each other in a while. You want to merge. You want to be together. You want to go places. All that is supposed to be great. You're not supposed to be arguing, but you want to keep that flame burning. So how do we keep it smoldering? How do we keep that heat intensified? Well, we make sure that we are dating each other, even if we're apart. So if there's a night that I know you're available and I'm available, let's plan to do a FaceTime date night. You pick a movie, we'll both hit play at the same time and coordinate, and we'll watch the movie together, and we'll eat, and we'll talk, or we'll cook a recipe together. You pick one or I'll pick one, and we'll trade off and say, okay, tonight we're cooking. So we're going live, we're FaceTiming, we're cooking, we're laughing, we're jamming, we're having wine, we're connecting. It's a date. And it can be sexy. You can get dressed up for it. You might have on some flops, but you can totally get dressed up for your date. So it's about the creativity and the energy that you want to put into that person and the creativity that you want them to put in you. I am a firm believer that people do what they want to do, how they want to do it, when they want to do it, and with who they want to do it with. Okay. So if it is your intention to stay connected, even when there's distance, you will stay connected. Whether you also can do things like this. Instead of it just being something that's virtually, write a letter. Like, remember old school pen pals? Do y'all know how romantic it would be if I got a letter in the mail from someone that, you know, maybe I was dating him and they were real long distance and they sent me a letter? Man, what? All over it, okay? Or sending flowers or a little token of appreciation. It can be like an under $10 thing. My point is, it's about the person knowing that they're important and that they're thought about even when you're not right in front of them. And as you know, things like that are little tokens of appreciation or kindness or care can go a very, very, very long way. So yes, definitely you can have a long distance relationship. Yes, it can work out in a healthy way. Just be creative with your connections. And with all of the social media things that we have, there should be no reason why we can't connect. Okay. All right. Question number three, how can venting about your relationship be done in a positive way that doesn't bash your partner? Ooh, that's a good one. Because sometimes we vent and we're actually vomiting. We're vomiting all our emotions on the individual. We've stacked it up because they've annoyed us in little ways, not in big ways. So we're like, oh, it's not big enough for me to say something. Or he's like, well, you know, it ain't a major key, so I'm not going to mention it to her. But it is. If you feel it, you need to deal with it. Okay. And that means you have to address it. All right. And so the way to vent is to, first of all, be mindful of the things that are bothering you in that moment and talk about them in that moment. I think that couples, I try to teach couples to come together once a week and have a purging session, right? And it's an opportunity for you all to communicate about the things that maybe have been annoying about one another to one another that week in a safe environment, right? Grab your libations, grab your snacks, wipe. Flag waving, and you guys are both coming into the table with maybe your top three things that annoyed you about each other that week, but you're coming in peace. You're coming with prosperity and the opportunity to open up. And this is the deal. Just because you identify the things that your mate or boyfriend or whomever might have done that week that bothered you doesn't mean that you just leave it there. Also give them alternatives. This is the way that you could have said that to me, because the way you said it, I was offended. Or when you used that word, I realized it was a trigger and I'm working on that. But in the future, can we come about it this way? Again, it's not just about expecting them to just learn and know how you respond. It's also about giving them guidance so that they have the opportunity to be advised so that the next time they can make better decisions. And the next time you can make better decisions. I will also say this. It is okay to have a safe space to vent, whether it's your pastor, a counselor, a bestie. Just make sure that person is healthy and that person is able to give you even energy, right? That they're not hateful, misguided, jealous of your dynamic, because you got to be careful with who you vent to and who you communicate with about your relationship. But I do believe that we can have safe spaces for us to vent and talk that shit, because we know we're not going to talk that shit to our mates. So I think that's important that you have that. Again, clean venting, which is what we want to talk about, is what I'm talking about here, should be about the facts, not about talking about they mama, they daddy, and they feet and they socks, right? It should be about the facts. And it should be coming with care and an opportunity for them to grow and for you to grow from that. And it's not about building and adding score and fighting fires. It's about working together. Okay. So I hope you guys were able to vibe with that. Again, this is Dr. East. I hope you've enjoyed Wine and Wisdom. Be healthy, be safe. I'll see you next week with 3 more questions. Bye.